past lives. This one has been on our radar forever.
Literally.
And now that we have both watched it, I'm so excited to talk about it because we have been having basically this conversation, right, around everything that happens in this movie for years. I went back and forwarded you a chain of ours from, what was that, 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I mean, and pretty much 3 years ago exactly. So, and then it predates that and postdates that. So I know this movie really landed for you. You really liked it. And so I cannot wait to hear what landed and how that's changed from the conversations we've been having where I just couldn't quite get there to make it make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you, well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But okay. I felt like watching this that I was understanding, yes, what you've been saying, but I had said all along, it's not that I don't get it. It made perfect sense, I've never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, I've never seen it done that well
in
pop fiction, right?
Yeah,
there's been a couple books, like one or two where I feel like it's done well, but it's hard. And I thought she did an incredible job here, Celine Song, who wrote this movie and directed it. And it did. It just put on the screen what I feel like, yes, we've been talking about forever. And I thought when I was watching it, I was like, Corinne must be sitting here thinking, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This is what I've been saying.
Yeah. So I get that because you're right. Sometimes it is a matter of sometimes you don't understand things, and sometimes that's why I use the word landed, because I do think you always understood what I was saying and you never were like, that doesn't really add up to me. You mm-hmm. were, but it never like landed in a way that it was like, yeah, and now this is it.
Yeah, I just thought this was beautiful, this movie too. And I was just, I thought it was so, so good. And I did, as you said, we've had it on our radar forever. So I did sort of go into it with really high expectations, which can go either way. You know, it's about a theme, like you're saying, that we've mm-hmm. talked about for years, which can be real good or, you didn't quite do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of expectations on it for us, because even when we saw the trailer, it's probably two Sundances ago when this debuted, if you will. But talking about fade and you know, reconnecting with someone from your past, and we were just, you know, I was all in, but
it
could have really, with those kind of expectations, it could have gone, you know, either way. And you know, I start off with an assumption towards one way.
Yes.
And you know, it didn't go that way, and I will talk about that too, but there are clearly spoilers here, people, if you
yes if you haven't watched it. Mm-hmm. But and also you don't love subtitles. Not that you
correct
watch plenty of subtitle things and have loved subtitled shows and movies, but mm-hmm. but that's
it's
just
a hurdle.
A general knock, a hurdle, mm-hmm. yes, for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is.
So this overcame high mm-hmm. expectations, overcame subtitles, and overcame, I think, what was where it was always clearly going was with the ending. So,
And I really didn't, you know, I didn't know where this was going to go, you know, whether it is whenever there's something about reconnecting with someone from your past, as you know, I tend to favor the person from the past, the person who was there first over the current spouse or partner or love interest.
Yeah.
And I think One True Loves might be the only other one where I really felt strongly that it ended the way it should. But this, I just felt like this was the exact right ending for this movie and for Nora's story. And it didn't even feel like overcoming any hurdle.
Yeah.
It felt right to me.
She really led you there.
Yes, she did. She did. And then when I go back over it, you know, for my notes, thinking about this, I even saw more all along how she led me there. But, you know, when you're just watching, you know, I'm just in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got to the end. And even though it is not the ending I would typically like, Oh, I was gutted. I was gutted. I was dying. So good.
Do
So
you
good.
know, though, we were, this was also part of the exchange, our offline exchange, and how people generally find it more satisfying when they go back to the old person. And that was also the case here. I listened to an interview with Celine Song, and she said a lot of people were upset by the ending.
Interesting,
Yeah, that she should
because
have
she
ended
should have
up.
gone with him.
Yeah. It's so, even in a perfectly executed, this is why it makes sense for her to stay where she should be, and the choices she's made. People are like, ah, I just wish she would have gone back to the old one for no reason. That's just what they want.
I know that's so funny. I
It
didn't know that I was
is.
in the majority, it sounds. I don't of
Yeah.
having that view generally. I guess
Yeah.
not with this movie, but I
I
don't
think if you
know.
like a second chance romance, what you want is for the second chance romance to be the thing. You don't want it to not be the thing. I think otherwise people don't, like me, I don't ever mind in a second chance romance when they go back to the past thing. I just don't love that trope personally. Right? So I
But
think,
for,
yeah.
yeah, but if the emphasis for me is always on the woman's journey, right?
Yeah,
So
of course.
it really has to be. So I would say I don't favor the first love. I favor whatever is bringing her to herself. And typically in these, it's bringing her back to a version of herself, as we've talked about, or things that she was missing that she's now found again through that connection. And so I'm happy for her. And it also happens to be that that person was able to do that for her. Typically, with these ones where it's a childhood, you know, I love that, like a childhood friend or someone from her past who truly, I would say, knows her. But here, it really was an example of we can go back to our normal people episode from the beginning. It truly was an anchor. Your view of it as an anchor, in here, it really would have been to me. And that's,
That shot at the end when they're standing there, the very last scene when they're standing
Oh, we're
there.
gonna talk about that.
Yeah, but I can't not mention it now when you just said anchor, because I just thought that scene cut in was so perfect. They're standing there in their adult glory, Nora and Haesung, and they just cut to the two kids standing on the. Oh, it's so. I mean, that doesn't feel like an anchor the way I was talking about it, normal people.
Yes, I know.
But it is rooted in something that does not exist
Exist
anymore.
anymore. That version of her, she doesn't want to go back to that version. You know, in a lot of these
And
stories, the reason I
whatever.
love it is because she does. I want what she wants, and she doesn't want that.
And whatever she is still, I am still my 12-year-old self. Everybody is still that, but she also has brought that girl
Grown.
along as much as she wants to. And she doesn't
Yes.
need to go back to something else. She is.
Yeah, she didn't abandon her, forget about her. She, you're to your point, you're
Exactly.
right. She brought the parts she wanted to
Exactly.
bring, but now she has wings and she doesn't, that would be going backwards.
Oh, that scene was so perfect.
Oh my
I don't know
God.
why she knew that was exactly what we needed. Yeah, it was so good.
So should we talk about scenes? Well, first,
Sure.
I want to say, well, we should say that it is the movie's up for Best Picture, an Oscar for Best Picture. She is up, Celine Song, for Best Original Screenplay. So we are not the only fans of this movie. I think it's well deserved. I love the structure just before of this sort of three act structure. It is, I'm sure you know this, a semi-autobiographical, like a fictionalized version of herself,
Although I'm
who.
still not exactly sure what the fictionalized part of it is. It's like, it seems to be this was, or maybe
This
just the
happened.
impetus.
This,
Yes,
yes,
exactly. This
the
happened.
impetus, yes, for it. So, and but there, yes, there's a lot of autobiographical elements. So Nora emigrated from Korea to Canada at a young age, just like Celine Song. She became a successful playwright in her 20s. just like Celine Song. The first act, you know, we start in Seoul where we meet Nora and her childhood crush, Haesung, and they part ways. And then we go to the 12 years later when they reconnect over the internet. And then 12 years after that, when Haesung visits New York and we have this, you know, meeting between her husband and her. And I just, the structure of that, knowing she's a playwright, sort of makes so much sense to me. And I think your point about, because somebody asked her that, I listened to an interview, a couple interviews with her too, like basically this is your story. And she's like, listen, it's my subjective experience that I made into an object, a film. So it's objectifying the subjective is what she said. So to the point where, in her view, once you take her subjective experience and make it into this object of film, Nora is me, but she becomes her own self is what she said. That character becomes her own thing in making this film. And that she said Greta Lee, the incredible actress who plays her, actually, she would argue, has more ownership over Nora by the end than she does, even though it was her story, which is interesting. But I get your point. It is. I mean, many of the elements are true to life.
And the first scene
is crazy. It
actually happened. She was sitting at a bar between her childhood crush, who only spoke Korean, and her New Yorker husband, who only speaks English. And she was literally translating their conversation. And she said she also felt like she was translating between two parts of her own self. I thought that was fantastic.
I mean, that opening scene is key to the film. And of course, we return to it at the end. But I love that it opens with that. And and with that sort of voiceover, which is just sort of like what's going
people
on here?
People in the
like,
bar.
Who are these people in the bar thinking, who are these three and who are they to each other? And she said she felt like it had like thriller notes to it. Like it sets up the mystery of who are these people? What are they doing here? Which I don't know for the thriller writer over there and you, does it feel like that or?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sets up a mystery, and a different feeling. It certainly doesn't start out with a warm and fuzzy moment, you know?
Right.
Here we are on the precipice of what is going to happen. And that has you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, there really was. And that happened to me at the end too, when we get to that final scene, like edge of your seat type things, like oh my God, because there's a lot of empty space kind of in things like where there's no dialogue and you're like, oh my God, like what's the anticipation? She does a really good job of building that in a lot of scenes. But so she said, like you said, she's having this moment in her own life and she said she felt something passing between the three of us. And she said, I was looking around the bar and seeing how the people who work there and the other patrons of that bar looked at us, and I just realized that they were all wondering who we were to each other. And she said it made me think, oh man, what if I could tell you? Like, what if, wait, I can. Like, what if I could tell this story? And I love hearing, like, you know, authors or screenwriters or whatever, like this, like, you know, writers, you know, you get these little nuggets. You're in a moment and you're sort of looking above it, down on it, going, wait, like there's a story here.
I can. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that the first scene was really key. And then we go back 24 years earlier and we're back in Seoul for this first act of her as a child, as a 12-year-old and her family's leaving South Korea and she's picking her new name, which going to be sort of her Americanized name, so she's picking Nora. And
although I was curious what you thought of that scene, because she tries to take her sister's name, Michelle. I was like, what is happening here? I feel like that was a key piece of character information that I just kind of didn't never really like came through to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think of that either. I was so focused on the, you know, you're starting a new life and is this going to be sort of where the little girl and her leaves and this new version of her comes, and literally by taking on a new name. So I don't know. I didn't think of that. So we meet her Haesung here, which is, you know, they are these, it's very, to me, very sweet young friendship. I'm not even sure we, you know, I guess it has the hints of young love, but they are, you know, only 12. But she does tell her mother she'll probably marry him. And there is a scene that I love with her mom, when she's talking to her mom about the family immigrating. And her mom says, if you leave something behind, you gain something too. And I didn't think much of that when I first watched it. But then when I was going back over it after I'd seen the whole movie, I thought, oh, that's interesting. See, that's a line or advice that Nora clearly either knows intrinsically or learned because of her mother, this lesson, which is probably something you know intrinsically. Like, I think that for a lot of us, people who are fixed in nature, not to get into astrology, but just generally stay the course with things, don't leave things, might view leaving things as quitting, things that might have some negative connotation. We didn't get this message. You know what I mean? And she got it literally from her mother, which is, you know, you leave something behind, you gain something. And that's going to come up later when, you know, you know, there's the thing about Nora being a person who leaves, and to her husband, she's a person who stays, which I'll talk about at the end. But this is where she learned it. I mean, her mom's telling her, look, there's only positive really associated with leaving, because you also gain things. And I think the rest of us know this, like, deep down, but we're like, maybe you gain something. I don't know, but I also lost something.
I think that's also the way I feel, but I just think that the potential of the new is more. And it's worth it if you know why you're doing it, right? Because she wants very much to get to New York and to, I forgot, was it the Pulitzer, which was the first, you know,
the
she
first
wanted to...
one is the Pulitzer, I think. I think the first was the Nobel Prize.
Okay, that's right. The Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
And anyway, she knows what she's going after and she knows the best way to get it. And so, yes, then leaving behind the old, it feels not only inevitable, but important.
Necessary.
Yeah.
I love that.
So,
you know, you see them holding hands and sleeping in the back of the car and, you know, playing on the playground, and then their goodbye on the street, which, as you pointed out, comes back at the end.
Yeah.
But that's, this first act is a really sweet introduction to her and Haesung and her journey away from Korea with her family.
Yep.
And then we get 12 years pass and we're in New York City, and she's doing something you would never do. She's on the phone with her mother and she's talking about people from her past and looking people up. And she decides
that's all
to
I do
look
with my mother, because that's all we have in common.
Wait, but you don't then get on FaceTime and Google people or Google people to go find people
I
from
guess
your past.
Not. No,
that's
I guess
what I'm
not,
saying.
But
she then, oh,
yeah, but my mom would be like, so-and-so is in the Suffolk Times. And I'll be like,
my mom does that too. But then she Googles an ex, you know, and that's, he's not an ex, though. I mean, that's the other thing. He's not, is he the one that got away? I don't know. I mean, they never, were just, but anyway, she does, she has curiosity about where he is. And she does what I would do and looks him up on social media, on FaceTime. Not FaceTime, Facebook, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it turns out he's been looking for her. So that he had posted on her father's movie page. And so then they reach out and they decide to reconnect, to talk to each other over FaceTime or Skype, whatever this
Skype.
Is. Yeah, Skype.
God, those noises were just very familiar. I remember those days.
Yes, I
Yeah.
was not a Skype person, so I
Oh.
didn't. Yeah, it reminded me of
I'm always a long
normal
distance
people again.
relationship person.
Oh,
Yeah.
I was thinking of that scene in Normal People where she stays up all night with him on
Yeah,
Skype.
yeah, yeah.
But even when they first talk, that he says, "Can I just call you Nae Young?" Which was her name, obviously, when he knew her. And to me, that was almost a first sign of the anchor. Because that's who she is to him, literally. That is all he knew her as. And so he even wants to address her by the old name. It's totally understandable, but it was my first, like, well, she's not that anymore. And she hasn't been for
And
12
she even
years.
says, my mother doesn't even call me that anymore.
Yes, exactly. Like, we've all moved on. I'm Nora now. But I loved this act, if you will, the Skype calls, this part. I don't know about you, felt very like rom-com montage-y.
Yes, absolutely.
Anything with like corresponding back and forth, talking, catching up. But there is a lot of, you used to be like this kind of stuff. Like, you used to cry a lot. He says, and she's like, every day. I mean, I don't anymore. And he's like, why you can't cry in New York City? And it's just one of those things again, where it's just that's what she used to be like, and so it thinks of her that way. And like you said, he's like, do you still want to win the Nobel Prize? And she's like, no, now it's the Pulitzer.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and he's like, you're the same as the 12-year-old kid I remember. And she's like, greedy? So they're cute. It's funny, but it's also, again, something that, he sees her the way he sees her. And she is those things. It's not, this is what always is the issue for me. It's like he's not wrong. She is still very ambitious and greedy, whatever you want to call her. She has these aspirations, but right now he's sort of locked in on, I know you because I
But
knew
I
you at
think at
12.
this point she still appreciates that. I think this is where they lose each other. This is the section where they make clear where the future goes,
Yes,
because
exactly.
they just this, there's enough of a connection to the past, but also an honoring of the present and who they are, and wanting to learn that, and watching movies together, and knowing their new schedules, and like really bringing that vision up to date. But they cannot make it come together, and that is, I just think, where these two are not meant to be together. It's not because of anything in the past, it's because they can't make a future together, and they really don't seem that committed to doing it. It's not feasible for either of them. It's not a lack of effort necessarily, but just like this isn't, their lives aren't meant to intersect this way.
Yes, exactly. You do start to see in this section the differences in their lives, in their choices. Yes, you're right. It is, I think she does like it's nice to be seen or remembered for things about you, and I think there's some good parts to that. But then I think she does, when she says to him, like, I want to stop talking for a while, it's and she said that she immigrated twice to be in New York. She wanted to make something of herself here, not be looking up flights to Seoul. Like, yeah, like he is her past. Like, she knew it even then that he was tying her to something that she was not in the direction she wanted to be going. Yeah. But it's sad, of course, because he's like, it took me 12 years to find my friend. But she thinks then it's just a brief break and she's going to go do this residency in Montauk, this artist residency. And, it's just a brief break. Well, anyway.
Boy, I just not I that is so entirely valid. I completely see that. It's just not the way I saw it. I saw it as that she wanted to, like, that they were really getting along well. She wanted something to be more for the two of them, and that they just couldn't find that mutual space. And I mean, I've done this to be nice, like to, I just think she knew it was over, totally over. And so she was like, let's just take a break. I've done that many times to ease the...
Sure. Yeah. And she might've just been telling herself that. I don't know how conscious she was of that then, but I do think it's something you say regardless. Yeah. And who knows? I do think at that time, though, she did, to your point, have a sense that, like, this is not, we're not on the same page and we're not going to get on the same page.
Yeah, but their schedules, he had to be there. She had to be, you know, like.
Because she was like, when would we even see each other? Like, they were trying to think of the logistics.
Exactly.
And without saying it, I think part of it was like, well, if we really wanted to, we could. But it's like, these aren't, like, we don't have the same.
Yeah.
We're not going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's really a matter of like effort or hard work. That's one of those things. It's like, it just isn't meant to be. It just isn't, because yes, maybe you could have like made a flight with some hard work and made a little time, but it was not, it would have been such a band-aid on a, you know, on a massive wound. Like, it's never going to get you there. They would have had to have given up too much of who they were to make that work. And so that was not the right choice that effort could overcome.
And I think even the people who you were saying aren't happy with the end, I think we all understood that at this point. I think the question for the movie, though, by the third act is, that wasn't the right timing then. You know, but now, when we get to the third act, it'll be 12 years later. Maybe it is now. But I think you're right. At this point, it was not going to work. And I think everyone sort of, you get that then. But you also think, okay, well, they're young. She's going to go off and do her thing. He's going to do her thing. And let's see. Because that at this moment, before the third act starts, we do get the introduction of this In-Yun, the concept here. So that's also now, like, we'll see what happens. But this is the Korean word that means providence or fate. And it's specifically about relationships, they say, between people.
But this is when, so she break, I love this because I think she knows it's over. She says it, does it as kindly as possible. I need a break. She knows, like, she knows, like, whether it was her mom teaching her or just something she knew, you have to leave something behind to gain something new. Mm-hmm. And she leaves him behind, and right there, when she arrives at this residency, there's Arthur.
There's this something like, new.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And had she kept that thread alive or whatever, who knows, Arthur doesn't make it to this residency, or she doesn't talk to him, or whatever it is. And that allowed her to be open to something new. And I just love that. Yes. And she is the one who tells him about this concept. Yeah. And then she says, you know, she's describing it all, and it's so beautiful. There's like this huge oak tree or whatever tree it is with the strung up white lights, and it's just beautiful and romantic, and they're obviously really vibing in a deep and wonderful way. And then he's like, do you believe in this? She's like, no, it's just what I say is to seduce you. Which is
great.
That
was a great scene. Under the twinkle lights and and I love the concept. I mean, that's what I'm saying, even why we've been into this since the trailer, because, you know, just this idea that if, you know, two strangers walk by each other and their clothes even accidentally brush, it means they must have been something between them in their past lives. And then if people get married, they say it's because they have 8,000 layers of In-Yun over 8,000 lifetimes. And
I love it.
Obsessed with the past lives, and that'll come again at the end. But just this concept, and you're right, she's telling him, Arthur, it, and it's what then is the start for them of the kiss, and then we get to act three, and 12 years have passed again. They're married, they're writers, they live in the city, in New York City.
I
And,
just want to
I mean, there's,
say that in that interview that I listened to with Celine, she talked about that. I forgot the phrasing, but it was the phrasing in the movie is 12 years pass. But I think at some point somebody was like, oh, it should be and 12 years later. And she's like, no, it's not 12 years later. It's 12 years pass because that is how time and space, she said she wanted time and space in this movie is non-traditional, but it's reflective of how we experience them in real life. And she says, what I mean by that is 2 minutes can feel like an eternity, but 24 years can feel like a snap. She was like,
Yes. Oh my God. She really does play with the time and space and how the contradiction about how things feel one way and but in reality are much longer or shorter. And it's so true. 12 years just pass. They just pass. So we know at this point she's been married for 7 years, the two of them. And she's telling her husband that this childhood friend is coming for vacation, I guess is what and we should say that now we sort of see Haesung and his current life in Korea, and he seems, I don't know what your thought, I mean, he seemed moderately depressed but also just fine, like he's got his friends, they go out, they drink, he's got his job. I mean, later he when he tells her a little bit what it's like to work in Korea, you get more sense. But at this point, I was like, all right, I don't know. He seems like just fine. But so you don't have I didn't have you don't get a huge sense of what, how much he's pining for her or how you don't know about his romantic relationship yet, but he's coming. I mean, so now we're getting the them meeting. Oh, and it's I did think though that once he saw his friends pointing out the weather forecast for New York City and that you're going there and it's just gonna pour rain the whole time. I was like, uh-oh, I don't know if this bodes well. But I love the scene when they meet for the first time in Central Park. Also felt very rom-com, meet cute. I had a little Harry Met Sally, maybe just because of the two of them staring at each other in Central Park. It's awkward but also sweet. I mean, he looks scared. They hug, they laugh. I mean, I just had a huge, in my notes just say like I have a huge smile on my face. I didn't know where it was going to go, but I was so happy to see them together because I felt they were happy to see each other. And then they, there's a lot of like walking around and talking. And they have what I think is sort of like the a little bit of the conversation, about not what went wrong, but she does say to him, she admits that before she got married, she actually went to Korea with her husband and she emailed him, which I thought was interesting. She said that she'd wanted to see him. And he says, I know. And she says she was disappointed. She wanted to meet his girlfriend. And to me, that's like another interesting, like fate kind of free will moment. Even though we don't see it, we just hear about it. But that means she did try. And for whatever reason, he didn't respond then or didn't take her up on it. So again, missed connection there.
Yes, definitely.
Or maybe not meant to be, right? So that's why she does lead us. This is why I'm saying all of these things she leads me,
Except how many times in real life do we ignore? I mean, this is, I was just talking to my editor about this in a completely different manner, but how many times do we ignore the things as signs that that it's not meant to be, and instead think like more optimistically,
Oh, yeah.
right? I mean, in our real lives, it's hard to accept this is just not meant to be. I think,
Yeah,
I mean,
hun
yeah, and I think
totally.
about in my publishing journey, how many times could I have just said this is not meant to be? And I
Right.
never never took those signs to mean that. But right. Yeah, it's interesting.
But this is just, right, as we hear this, though, we're also just thinking, see, it's just like another, what if it had been different? Like, what if he had responded to the email? Yeah. And what if they had met up? Because, you know, he was dating someone then. What if, you know, just all these, like, you know, the road not taken things. But yeah, but is it just fate?
Yeah, isn't that just the thing? It's like, if one thing had been different, the whole thing collapses because it's not real then. It's like not the two of them. Someone has to be something they're not meant to be, or where they're not meant to be at the time they're not meant to be it. So it just collapses under the weight of that one single change. It's mm-hmm. then you're just not, you don't have the same thing anymore.
Yeah. If one thing had been different, would everything be different? Yeah. Well, and then because she says that about the girlfriend, she wanted to meet her. She says she was disappointed, and that's when we get the chance here that he's not actually dating her right now. So now we know that Haesung is actually single, but not, we don't know. I mean, he's like, we're not together right now.
Yeah.
So that allows
doesn't
us
he
to
say because she wants to get married and
yes, and he thinks he's too ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting, I thought that was an interesting thing for him to say to her. So like his job and his income are ordinary. And mm-hmm. so they talk of marriage, but he's got this, it seems to me, the damage I like in these men who think they're not worthy or not good enough. I don't know, because I don't really mm-hmm. know her. Mm-hmm. She's not part of the story, but exactly. Is he also saying it to, in a way, if he believes that about himself, then it's the same with Nora.
Interesting.
I mean, if he thinks he's
interesting.
Ordinary, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, so now for those rooting, if you are for them, you're like, okay, well, he's not married and he's got a girlfriend, but he's not sure he wants to marry her. So that does, for purposes of the story, he is, I guess, available. You know, whatever.
Except she's married.
She's married. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. But but he's not. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have I just think like the talk, what I call the talk, you know, where she mm-hmm. asked what she, you know, wanted to ask, like, why did you look for me 12 years ago? And he said, I just wanted to see you one more time. You left so suddenly. You know, and we were babies when we met. We were babies 12 years ago. You know, we're not babies anymore. So it's a little bit of the not what went wrong, but, you know, the you know, how do we get here type thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then we get now finally back to her going home to her husband.
Yeah,
this is where it really heats up for me. Like the three of them, the intersection of the three of them. And I don't know how you felt about, you know, the only other time we'd seen Arthur was in a great scene, like you described, of them kissing mm-hmm. when they first meet. And now they're married and he's home playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted me to root for the new guy, let me just tell you, Celine, you don't have him playing video games in the living room.
That's funny because
when she's out with the ex.
The Celine is a very big gamer.
Yeah.
So
I understand.
She would think that's a wonderful thing.
I am rolling my eyes at the guy sitting around playing video games for sure. But also just be like, it's not even the video game so much. It's just, you know, your wife is out with like the childhood one that got away maybe. And you're like, yeah, whatever. I'm playing video games.
Well,
I don't
what
know.
Should he be doing?
I don't know. Pacing nervously. Come on.
Oh, that would be terrible.
He seemed disinterested to me. I genuinely thought that's what we were supposed to take from it. But I don't know if I was just projecting like the video game. It's just like, he was already in a hole for me, which shows that like it's pretty good. But then he got out of it, I'll tell you. I mean, he really did with this conversation. But that my initial reaction was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, what is this guy like?
If I came home to someone who was like pacing or
it's really more the video
games. Questions, I would be so annoyed. I think is the only, to me, this is the only response.
If you're not asking me questions, then you don't care. I am the complete opposite. Oh, no, God, complete. No.
Right, well,
if
I
you
mean,
don't to, ask me questions. But he does, though. But my point, he does what he does, I think, isn't great. But I actually think, again, after the video games, I thought he handled
well, she goes
exactly.
into a lot. She talks yes. a lot. Right.
She so does. So then she opens. A lot, sort of. I mean, she's,
yeah.
because she almost doesn't know what to, she's processing it in real time,
exactly,
too.
Exactly,
like,
which is yeah, what I she's love.
Like, yeah, she's like, I think you're right. Like, I think he did come to see me. Mm-hmm. Like, which yeah. I think at first she didn't fully get that. And but then he asks questions. He does. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he does. Are you
yeah.
attracted to him? I don't think so. You know, are you mad? She asks him, and he's like, I don't have a right. He's your childhood sweetheart, which I thought was a good answer. And then she jokes like, I'm never going to run away with him. I would never miss rehearsals. Do you even know me? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I know you. And I believe it. And I believed him yeah. when he said that.
Yeah. That is why I think that is all consistent with him just acting like it's a normal night. He should know who he's with, know who she is, and know that this is, it's something she's got to do. It might make you slightly uncomfortable, but you have to be strong and sturdy and unmoved by it. And, you know, I just thought it was the perfect. He was
but
the perfect
response. But then
he
is moved by it. I don't see, that's the thing. This the one that's about to happen is huge yeah. to me. It does okay. this scene of them talking okay. in bed.
Before we get to that one, though, I love, because, and maybe that's all of what he's picking up on, because this was part of my favorite part, was when she was like going on about, like you said, she's processing it all in real time. She's like, oh, he's so Korean. And like mm-hmm. that makes her in one sense feel more Korean, but it also makes her feel less Korean
less.
And how that context does that. And we've talked about this so many times in regards to family and siblings. I feel it when I go to my hometown. Like, it's just so, like, all of a sudden, it put in a different context, my whole life feels different. And it's like, how do things change like that in a beat when you're not, nothing's really changed? But yeah, I just loved her processing that and how the context of being with him changed yeah. for her. That was big. Made
her start thinking about all these things.
Yeah. And she was just like, kind of like rambling and
yeah.
getting excited, and that was the energy I thought he was feeding off of, not his concern about what had happened while they were gone.
No, I think he's asking, like, reacting appropriately to her processing.
Yeah,
and you know,
absolutely.
I really did.
Yep.
And then I thought, then his what I did see as concern then, but the right amount of concern, like one that I would want, was when they're laying in bed. And I just thought this scene was so good. Like the two of them sort of laying next to each other. I guess I really do love these scenes where people talk in bed. I'm thinking of prior movies. If they were mm-hmm. laying and facing each other, you really would have had me. But, you know, the lighting, it's like dim lighting. They're both writers. And it almost just, it was like, had like a dreamlike quality to it, but also, the fact that they are both writers, I think, is obviously a thing that connects them. But I love mm-hmm. how he looks at it as a story. And yeah. I was just thinking, what a good story this is. You know, childhood sweethearts reconnect 20 years later, only to realize they were meant for each other. And that is sort of like, maybe not the elephant in the room, but the fact that he just says it, the fact that he's
yeah.
willing to communicate about it is
yes.
huge for me.
Yeah.
Like, and, we're not meant for each other. In this story, I'd be the evil white husband standing in the way of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, think about it. Our story is just so boring. We met at an artist residency. We slept together because we were single. We moved in together to save money on rent. And we got married so you could get a green card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first we've heard of sort of the circumstances post mm-hmm. that kiss that we saw. So mm-hmm. there is this idea here for me of how much of this did she really choose, affirmatively mm-hmm. choose, or how much of this did just sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
And is this really the life that she wants? And so that's why
I think this makes... But does Nora let life happen to her?
Well, we honestly, we don't know. I mean, we've skipped 12 years. And so,
yeah, but does Nora as a character, right? She's, since she was little, like wanted to move to New York, wanted to be a successful.
Yes.
So I just think Nora is not the kind of person. I understand what you're saying. You're right. We didn't see any of that. But I just never thought Nora is the person who lets life happen to her. It just never happens.
Absolutely, which is why this ending is exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
But I think if there are these, we're meant to at least question it a little here, because she wasn't up until this point, but I don't know. Now I'm like, I have to have a little bit, or else there'd be no like triangle either. You know, it's like, so to me, there is a little bit of the, not like, I was just like, oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, and so at the end, yes, this is all about Nora choosing what's best for Nora and who she wants to be and the life she wants to live, which is why it, like I said, it feels like the right thing, because that is who she is. But I just thought at this moment, you got a little bit that we didn't know of how they got here, which left a little light, right, for people who want to root for the other guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because, but again, by the end, I don't know how you could want that after it. But anyway, he's like, I'm the guy you leave in the story when your ex-love comes to take you away. And I like that he's saying, hey, like, he's bringing all this to the forefront. Like, what if you met someone else at that residency who also read all the same books and gave you useful notes on your plans? And she's like, that's not how life works.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you be with him? And she's like, this is my life and I'm living it with you. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what you were saying. Like, it's like, if he's like, well, what if that had been different? She's like, but that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, is this what you pictured for yourself? Yes. And I like that he's like, you know, examining it. And she's like, are you the answer to my parents' immigrant dreams? And again, she's just like, this is where I ended up. This is where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. And she knows that. But I then love that he's, you know, he makes that comment about, you know, you only dream in Korean, and it scares him because you dream in a language I can't understand.
Yeah.
And it's a whole place inside of you that I can't go. And I really, again, some of my issues in these ones were I don't like the new guy or the Arthur here. This scene, I mean, that him wanting to know her so much that he's trying to learn a language so that he can fully understand her is
there
huge
you go.
For me.
That is big. Yeah, yeah, that yeah. makes sense. Yeah.
He's trying to understand her.
But
we still have to, you know, have the triangle. And she takes the two of them meeting is, first of all, insane. I said this to you over text. I can't even imagine this. I mean, if Celine Song did not make it clear that this happened to her in real life, I would have said this would never happen in real life. I can't even imagine this. And then to watch it when they go to this bar. So now we're back at the bar, unless you have
anything. Yeah, but then again, okay, but I think we were talking about something slightly different, or at least I was when we were texting, that's outside of the scope of this conversation. But I think it would have been weird if they hadn't met at this point. She'd already been out with him a couple of times, like... they had gotten their catch-up time. I think if they were going to see each other again, I would have invited my husband as well. Like, it would have just been too weird. Like, yeah, I think it would have been too weird.
I mean,
yeah,
why?
Definitely.
She has no feeling. If you believe that she's staying with her husband, she's chosen. They need to get together.
I just don't think that's how life works. Life is about choices, constant choices. You can't just say like, I don't have feelings, or I do have feelings and then that decides something, or I don't have feelings and then that decides something. I just think they had been together the first day at the Central Park and the carousel and all that. They had had that whole
Statue
day.
of Liberty. Yeah.
Then then they did the Statue of Liberty thing, and it's like, yeah, I think you
like
gotta.
How many times can you hang out without inviting him?
Yes, that I just think would be awkward. Otherwise, probably I would have just been like, "It's good to see you." Like.
Right.
Yeah, like you wouldn't have done the... I probably wouldn't have gone. But that's just because I'm an introvert and would rather stay home all the time. But if I was going to... If I wanted to go do some sightseeing, then I would... Yes, I would definitely invite my husband.
Yeah.
At that point.
But then they... I mean, so she invites him, but it's... sightseeing would have even been easier. But this whole... this whole sitting at the bar... It exacerbates the awkwardness to me because, you know, there's like... Like we see, she has to translate between them. There is this language barrier. She's literally in the middle of them. But and there it's at first, you know, she's doing a good job of that. She's trying to explain to her husband that what it's like to work in Korea, and he's saying there's no overtime pay. It's very hard physically and mentally. But then they just start talking to each other. And that, what would you do that? Would you have a full-on conversation? Speaking of time, that felt like an hour to me. And I know it wasn't.
It's
but
so
I was
funny.
Like, oh my God, they're just going to sit there and ignore him.
I think I do that off, even with people I'm speaking the same language. My husband just likes to chill and sip his scotch next to me. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yes, no, but that, please, we all do that. But it's not your ex. You didn't bring...
Yeah.
Well, you're talking to a friend, and you kind of... He just sits there, so you talk to your friend.
I mean, they're not real... This is... And you mentioned this earlier.
Yeah,
and
it's
not an
ex.
They're
it's
not
true.
Really exes. They haven't even...
Except...
Did they even ever kiss?
No, but look at what... I guess it's like what they're talking about, though. You're right. They're not just sitting there having a conversation and her husband's just not part of it. I mean, it is about the two of them and their relationship that wasn't a relationship.
It wasn't.
But anyway, my point with all this, though, is it makes the movie amazing because I was on the edge of my seat. I don't know. See, you're not tense during. I'm like, oh my God, are they just going to sit there and talk about this right with him there? I'm like, oh, boy,
oh
okay.
My God.
Oh, God.
It's so funny.
I was dying while they were talking.
What's the big
because to me I thought it was a very intimate conversation, very intimate, very vulnerable.
Yes.
And they're looking at each other and their bodies are turned to each other and they are close and her husband is just sitting over there. And it's having these kind of conversation with someone like your first love with your husband sitting right there added to the tension and the suspense in a way for me. I know that's why I agree with her. It had like a edge of your seat thriller effect on me more than any thriller. So crazy. But anyway, but I think here again by this scene, by the end of it, I am again 100% fine with how this, not just fine, but believe this was the ending that needed to be. I mean, when he say Korea is too small of a country to satisfy your ambition. First of all, that to me, along with those other comments he made about what prize do you want to win, like he knows her. And in a way, he knows what's best for her. He knows that she has always wanted these things and was always going to go after those things. And it's one of the things I'm sure he loves about her and respects in her. And then he's like, I'm glad to have seen you and thank you for introducing me to your husband. I can tell he really loves you. I didn't know liking your husband would hurt this much. I'm like, oh God. but again, that's where I'm like, I can't believe he's saying this and her husband's 5 feet away, two inches away, whatever.
But isn't that good?
It's so nice. Well, she says, she looks at him and she goes, he's talking about you. But so it's good, but it's all, oh, okay.
I just think it is an intimate conversation and it is a vulnerable conversation, but it's basically like, this is why being together is irreconcilable. We will never be together. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like bad or awkward or... I don't know.
Oh, it's not bad. It's it's there's, like I said, it's an edge of my seat for me. Like just a tension in a, not in a bad way. Like, what is that? Like electricity. Like, I don't know. I was just on the. It's not like, but I think he just realizes, like, you know, he's like, what he learned from visiting her is you had to leave because you're you. And the reason I like you is because you're you. Mm-hmm. And who you are is someone who leaves. And that could have had, and I think it does have many times, a negative connotation, like you're a person who leaves, like, mm-hmm. like dumps people, runs out on relationships. That's not how I took it.
Yeah.
At all. I think he does know her. Like, this is the thing I love about you is the thing that's going to make this not work.
Yeah.
And vis-a-vis me, you're a person who leaves. And she says, I left that little girl behind. And then he's like, and even though he was only 12, he loved her. But this is where they, you know,
yeah, talk but about I their love path. That part when he's saying, like, he's saying those two sentences back to back as that they are irreconcilable, that
yeah,
you had to leave Korea because that's who you are. You are too big for Korea and you had mm-hmm. to leave. And that was what I liked about you. So that she had to leave, that it was
yeah.
not big enough for her. And so if she had been different, if she had been someone who could stay in Korea and have that life and
he wouldn't have loved her.
He wouldn't have loved her. And if no, she was someone who, you know, or if he was someone who didn't care, it just, yeah, it just yeah, like,
it does.
That's where
I agree.
They're like, it's if one thing had been different, would everything be different? Yes, but then like,
they would.
The whole thing is gone. Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
The whole thing just collapses. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I of course love the mention here of past lives, and mm-hmm. I think there was something in our past lives. Otherwise, why would we be here right now?
It's so true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in this yeah. life, we don't have the inyun to be that kind of person to each other, because now finally we're in the same city for the first time in 20 years. And mm-hmm. and he's like, basically like finishes her sentence, and we're sitting here with your husband.
Yeah.
You know, in this life, you and Arthur are that kind of inyun to each yeah. other. And he says, and to Arthur, you're someone who stays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's about who she is with Arthur, and this is the life she wants. And so to me, it's just not even a question. It wasn't even a question of him or her, or, you know, sorry, Arthur yeah. or Haesung. This is the choice that she has to make, wants to make
yeah.
for herself and the life she wants to live. So it wasn't even hard for me to overcome this hurdle. But yeah. I guess I did, but it didn't feel like that to me.
Yeah.
It's like I just really didn't even care as between the two of them. I just felt so certain in her choice.
Right.
And then I loved, like, who do you think we were to each other in past lives?
Yeah,
that was great. Yeah, and then she leaves the two of them. I mean, you know, you had said to me, then Arthur says,
yeah.
Do you know what inyun is? And maybe we have inyun, him and Arthur, which
yeah.
I agree with you, was something I never thought about.
Pretty mind-blowing, yeah.
Yeah, mind-blowing. But... So by the time we get to this, so I felt good then, right? We're leaving the bar. We just have one final scene, what we'll talk about. But by the end of this, I was like, yep, this is what she needs to do. This is the right thing to do. It's just, it just felt like the correct thing. But then we get the true final scene. And maybe this is what, I don't know if this is what makes people wish she did something different, but
what changed
well
here?
So what I would say is just walking him to his Uber, right? So mm-hmm. they it's an incredible scene. It takes a lot of minutes to mm-hmm. of silence in a way, and she walks down the sidewalk and they're waiting for his Uber, and then they just stare at each other
mm-hmm.
and they turn face to face, and again, absolutely on the edge of my seat. I was so tense. I thought, I think most people thought they might kiss. Or did mm-hmm. you, that just never entered your, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't
I think
have thought
a different
that was
movie
right.
would have had them kiss, but this
Right,
movie
but I
was
think
not.
people, I
Yeah.
agree with you. I do think in this movie that would have absolutely been the wrong choice. I mean,
Yes.
but I
How would she have
wonder
gone
if,
back to Arthur and explained that, right?
right, but I wonder, do you think for those people that you read about that think didn't like the ending, did they hope that actually she came, quote unquote, like came to her senses or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I
And
guess,
that
yeah.
they had some, you know, that then she changes her mind. I don't know. I would not
Yeah.
have liked that. I
Yeah.
believed, as I said, that this is what it should be, but I still, she drags it out in this way, in a great way. Not a drags it out sounds
Yeah,
negative,
yeah.
but I was transfixed. I was just like, what is going to happen? Like, they're just staring at each other. And you know, they had, then they just, they do lean in. But it's just for, you know, a hug or an embrace. And then he says, he uses her original name, not Nae Young. What if this is a past life as well? And we were already something else to each other in the next life. Who do you think we are then? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, me neither. See you then. I mean,
it was good.
So good.
Yes.
I thought, I mean, so I did read about this ending scene, and Celine Song said that she felt this was without a doubt the most important scene in the movie. She knew it from the beginning. This idea of the two of them just walking down the street. She said it was a hill she was going to die on. She knew this scene would make or break the movie. And they, her, like DP, like wandered like the streets for weeks in New York City trying to find just the right street to
Yeah.
film this on. And it had to be mundane, but also stunningly beautiful. She said that she had to walk, which I never would have thought of. She had to have the character Nora walk from right to left because that's walking towards the past. So when the two of them walked to get the Uber, it had to be from right to left because that's them walking towards the past. There's 2 minutes of silence. Of course, I didn't time it, but that sounds about right. She's like, but it has to feel like an eternity, but
Yep.
also feel like the car is coming any second. So you're
Right.
like, is it coming? Is it coming?
Right, right.
And she said
'Cause
she was
Ubers are very fast.
Right. And she said she was in charge of, you know, as a director of signaling for when the car should come, but she didn't tell the actors. So they also didn't know when it was going to come. So they're kind of waiting in anticipation too. So she said it had to feel like too long, but also too soon. And there's that final piece of dialogue that I said. And then he, Hae-sung, has to leave from right to left. And then she, so then, I'm sorry. Right, no. So then she has to walk, I'm sorry, back from left to right, sorry, goes back to Arthur because that's going back to her future,
right.
or towards, I should say, not going back,
right.
towards her future, and Arthur is her present and her future. And then really the final scene is Hae-sung in the cab or the Uber going to the airport, and that is driving from left to right, and same thing, because it's going towards his future. And that was all, you know, that scene was all orchestrated in that way. And she just thought it was like, again, the make or break scene. I
yeah.
loved it.
Yeah. I
but
loved,
then the cr-
yeah.
I was just going to say the crying. I was in sobbing when she goes back to
yes.
Arthur.
And
she's crying.
That with the moment when they flash to her as a little girl, and we
oh,
know
yeah.
she's the crybaby, and then she kind of like, brings that, because that scene back in Korea when it happened for real was them walking home from school and it was light out. This was some hybrid, like really didn't happen because it's them there, but it is dark and like nighttime, like it is right then. The lighting is similar to them as adults. So it's this weird alternate universe. And then she gets to like bring that back to Arthur. I loved
yes.
that.
Yes,
yeah.
And then I was full on sobbing. Just
yeah.
couldn't stop myself. It went on for way past the credits. And I thought the ending and that I was aware by the end that I was going against what I normally do, or what I'm normally rooting for. And then that's when I was just like, oh my God, she's convinced me. She's convinced me, Celine Song. I was like, because here's what she said, and this is exactly how I feel. Like she said, it's a love triangle, an unconventional one. She is choosing, but the person she's choosing is herself and her life and the kind of life she wants to live, and not about which guy. And those guys have their own journeys too and their own lives. It's really about three people choosing themselves. 100%.
Right.
Yes. And that to me is why this is head and shoulders better and different than anything I've ever seen with this kind of love triangle issue, if you will.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I just related so much to Nora in this that was a big part of it for me too. And how being the idea of being kind of like stretched between two selves, two lives, and always having to reconcile that, and often it being irreconcilable. I don't know, like I said, I don't know if that's my sun and moon signs or whatever it is, that that theme just always really speaks to me, and that spoke to me a lot here.
Yeah, and I figured.
Yeah. So I just felt like it was much more of, or I felt more of her journey, and I just felt everywhere along the way I trusted her in the choices she was making. She was never not thinking. She was never letting passive. She was never letting life happen to her. She was never losing sight of anything. And so I just always trusted whatever she was moving towards. And that doesn't mean it's not complicated, but it does mean it's simple and straightforward.
Sad in some ways, right? Yeah. Like it is. That's why she's crying at the end. I mean, in a way, I think she's, you know, I think Celine Song said something like this. Like she's grieving, sort of. She's saying goodbye to her 12-year-old self in a way, and that part of her. And that's, but again, that's sad. She's leaving that behind. But as her mother told her, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it can, both things can be true. So it can be sad, and it can also be the right thing, and you can also gain things. So I just thought it was so good.
Yeah, I thought of two songs that I, or maybe three songs actually, that I listen to all the time that I think are, that have lines could be taken right from this movie. Stick Season, you know, the Noah Kahan song. There's a line that says, I dream of, and I'll dream each night of of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. That's what's going on there. It's something you didn't have, but you also didn't lose. And so what is it really?
I don't know that song.
Oh, are you kidding?
Maybe if I listened to it, I would know it, but I don't know the name
Noah Kahan needs to be on your radar, every one of his songs, but Stick Season is really, really popular. And then the other is Multiverse.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that song? You know that song?
No. I thought you were going to talk about the multiverse thing that we were talking about. No, you're saying there's a song.
There's a song, and it's somewhere in the multiverse. There's a you and me that works. We never fuck it up. We're out there still in love somewhere in the multiverse.
I don't know the song, but I am 100% on board. I mean, I think I said this to you in the email. I think one of the things that also sort of helps me here with this movie is that I still, if you want to believe that there is something ever for her and Haesung. So even those people that complain, they don't like the ending. I just think this idea of there could be other versions of them out in the multiverse where they're together, or maybe they do have something unresolved here. If that's how people feel, they feel unsatisfied. Just think of what they're saying here. They are connected, no doubt, through past lives and future lives. Maybe it wasn't enough in Yun, as they said, but to be married or whatever. But to me, there's something about that too, that maybe people don't like that.
So this
they can
is
be
my
together
burning,
in another world.
So this is my burning question for you, though. This is why I refuse to, we've talked about this many times, but how I refuse to like demote some of my exes, because I just can't, I just am not willing to say they were just someone I once dated. Some of my exes
I agree with this, but what I always say to you is all of my exes feel like some of your exes. I don't have, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if I had one that I felt so deeply, I wouldn't demote them either. I don't have more than one. Like, it's just not my experience. But surely if I did and then found another one that like also I felt like, oh my God, I feel this is a soulmate, like soul family, past life connection of the same magnitude, that, but for whatever reason, that one didn't work. But then this one, then I wouldn't demote the other one. I just don't even have, there aren't, nobody gets to the, does this make sense? Like,
Well, I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe I'm just hearing it, you say it in a different way now. So it's not the belief, it's the experience.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's experience. And because I don't have the experience, I find it hard to believe that, like, right? Mm. I guess that's it. I find it hard to believe because I haven't had the experience. But it's not disbelief. Mm. It's like, I also think, wow, I think I have said this to you, amazing if you actually have had that more than once. Sounds great. That sounds super. I just don't have that experience, so I don't know. But then I absolutely would not demote them. I agree with you. Like I would believe that was, you know, that was truly, in a way, like a life-changing like experience. And maybe it wasn't the right time, or maybe didn't really have the yin-yang, or maybe we weren't really going to be together,
Have we talked about, so I guess, and no, I think this makes much more sense to me now, but is there such a thing as like someone who has too many of them? Like, I don't know, I'm remembering a conversation, but my brain is not quite accessing it, of like, you're like, come on. This person, I don't remember if this was a vague conversation or a specific conversation, but like, you're like, how many like promotable exes can you possibly have?
Yeah. It's not ringing a bell, but doesn't sound like something I wouldn't say. Isn't that consistent with what I'm saying? Like, since I haven't had more than one, I would question someone could have that many.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
If you believe my astrologer, anyone you're in a romantic relationship with, according to him, I don't know if he was just saying this about me or if he's just saying this as a fact, is someone you've known in several prior lives, several past lives. Right. That's what he said.
Which would also be in line with this idea.
Yes.
Right. Of in-yang.
Right. So, but he did say specific to me, because I have all those planets. I always say all those planets in Leo, and it's always about how I'm such a Leo. But the other point of that is that they're all in the same house, right? Mm-hmm, so all those four are in this house, and it is this house of groups and community and like all that. So he, you know, was explaining to me that particularly for me, this concept of the soul family. So of these souls that I've known for over umpteen lifetimes, we're all this family.
Yeah.
So maybe it is more of a thing for me, but that's not all romantic.
But you did say romantic relationships.
He was saying that anyone's in a romantic relationship.
Oh, okay. Just for
anyone. You've been in past lives. Okay. Right.
Got it.
Then he was saying to me, like, and this doesn't have to be romantic, that there are these people that I've known in past lives. Okay. And that the reason it is important is because they operate on the same like energy and vibration as me, and they present, as you've heard me say, a mirror for me. So he's like, psychologically we say the people in our lives are mirrors back to us for what we can't see in ourselves. So I've got, he's saying that I've come back to Earth with all these soul family members because we learn best, or I'll learn best from each other being of this similar vibration. And that these are all people that have been in my life for literally
lifetimes. Yes.
Lifetimes. Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, I think that maybe I'm getting these things, maybe again, though not in the romantic way, but that all of these people from past lives are so important, and they are, you know, they're there for reasons, and they're showing me things about myself that I can't see on my own. Mm-hmm. And that is incredible. I would never demote any. I mean, I don't know, but I guess just for me, and I actually can sort of feel that. I see that. I've said that about you being a mirror. Like, so it's not even a way outside of the romantic context. So it's like, I believe it, but just in the romantic, I don't know that I have enough experience with multitudes of these mirrors way.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just funny too, because, you know, thing of all the woo-woo things I've done, the one thing I said to you that I haven't done that I want to do is a past life regression.
Mm.
And so now this movie, I'm like, oh, geez, I feel like maybe I do need to
do this. Yeah, there you go.
The past lives.
Yeah. But you believe that, I mean, this, for Nora, that Haesung has a special place in that, her, right, but that he is not the one who she's supposed to go through this life with.
It seems like that. I was convinced of that by the end. Yeah. I was,
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Which was shocking.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, good for Celine Song.
There. Exactly. Good work.
For taking something that, you know, first of all, that we love and that we've talked about and given us more ways to look at it and talk about it is already just huge win for us.
Absolutely.
And bonus points that it's like making something land a different way for me. I just thought it was beautiful. And I didn't say this yet, but I also just thought that it was really felt like, and I think I might have read this, but a love letter to New York City. I thought the shots of the city and of them walking around. Maybe that was a little of the When Harry Met Sally for me too.
Yeah, but that's
just
true.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So big fan. Big fan.
Finally,
I don't think it's going to win, but I want it to for the Oscars. But I can't tell you how many people I've told to watch this movie. And they were like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what? Like, oh, but have you seen Oppenheimer? I'm like, oh my God, people, I'm telling you, watch this. I do think subtitles, when I say it, a lot of people, I must not be the only one that has a little bit of a hurdle around those.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep telling everyone.
All right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, this was fun. And I'm sure it is not the end of our discussion along this line.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right.
So good. We'll be back on this concept, I'm sure, many times.
Because there will be endless stories made about it.
Yes, because
and we will
through
continue.
Many lifetimes.
Exactly.
I love it. We'll keep talking about it.